This podcast is brought to you by Bodog.net.
Don't miss a chance to play at Bodog.net. When the odds are stacked against you, post-game tastes that much sweeter. Bodog.net, your source of free casino games, poker strategies, and live sports odds.
All right, just ahead of bringing Gord on, just some awful news coming out of Pittsburgh. And I immediately thought, again, Chris Letang suffered a stroke, and I just quickly looked it up to my timing right and how time flies. He was 26. It happened in January of 2014 when Chris Letang suffered a stroke. And you're thinking there, it's like, oof. Hopefully, number one, full recovery. Number two, full recovery, continue his career, which he did. The Pittsburgh Penguins have just put out a release. Chris Letang has suffered another stroke. Just give you some comments here from the Penguins official Twitter feed. GM Ron Hextall, quote, Chris reported symptoms to the training staff on Monday. He was immediately taken to the hospital for testing. The test results were shocking to hear. We are grateful that Chris is doing well. We are thankful to the medical staff and the physicians. He is a warrior on the ice, but first and foremost, he is a son, father, husband, and a friend. His health is our number one priority. Chris Letang offered his thoughts. I'm fortunate to know my body well enough to recognize when something isn't right. While it's difficult to navigate this issue publicly, I'm hopeful it can raise awareness. It is important for me that my teammates, family, and fans know that I'm okay. I'm optimistic that I'll be back on the ice soon. End quote from Chris Letang. So good on him to recognize something was wrong and identified the issue. And unfortunately for Chris Letang, he has suffered yet another stroke, the first one coming back in January of 2014. Okay, so that's some breaking news over the break. We have a guest waiting on the line, as we always do on Wednesdays. It is our Sens at NHL insider, a man that has seen a lot of Chris Letang,
yeah.
A frequent playoff opponent and opponent in general of the Ottawa Senators, Gord. So maybe get your initial reaction to that's disturbing news coming out of Pittsburgh.
Very, very disappointing and disturbing news. I'm also somebody who's very in tune with how your body feels when you go through a major setback, right? In 2020 with the heart, the minor heart attack that I had, and I could tell you tomorrow, or I could tell you in a heartbeat, pardon the pun, if I was going to be feeling those same symptoms. So good on Chris to obviously recognize what his body was telling him and to get immediate attention. And boy, oh boy, you just wish him all the best. But, you know, this is two now in a couple of years, and perhaps the body is, in fact, telling you something. And, you know, your first instinct is to think of your family. Your second instinct is to immediately think of your career and how much the career means to you. And, you know, being able to do it once is one thing. Being able to come back a second time might be, it will be more challenging. So we'll keep a watchful eye on Chris. It would not surprise me at all, though, if his season is done and perhaps his career.
Oh, all right. We'll keep an eye on that. But some breaking news coming out of Pittsburgh. The Sens are back, and you're back in this time zone, Gord. First time in a while.
Yeah,
we got a home game tonight. Home and home start against the Rangers at MSG on Friday. We know that there is. We squeezed you on late on the drive from the airport on Monday,
yep.
So
yep.
Maybe we'll just get more of an elaboration from you as we kick this segment off here. Your thoughts on the team, the mood of the group. It is more upbeat coming off those two wins out west.
Yeah, there's look, nobody's happy with the record of 8-12-1. Are they completely satisfied with how they've played on a consistent basis? Absolutely not. But when you win two in a row, and you do so for the first time since, I believe, late October, October 22nd and 24th, the last time this team won two, and that extended a winning streak to four games, and they were feeling pretty good about themselves, and I think had a real strong belief in meeting the expectations that everybody put on them, including themselves. And then all of a sudden you lose a couple and you think you should have won maybe one or two of those of the four or five that you've lost in a row, and you kind of blame it on not getting the breaks, and then you start feeling sorry for yourself. And I'm not saying the Senators went through this gamut of emotion, but they certainly probably had some self-doubt, you know, as far as individual play is concerned. Players fighting with their own confidence issues, which in turn leads to a breakdown for the whole team. And the last two games we have seen, and in particular the Los Angeles game, and I say in particular the LA game because I think they played a better game in the 3-2 overtime win against the Kings than they did 2 days previous in the 5-1 win over Anaheim. More convincing, the victory was, but the way they went about their business in the Los Angeles game and the way they played in the third period in a 2-2 hockey game, they stretched it to the very end and gave themselves an opportunity to win it in overtime or to win it in a shootout. And in the past, they've not been able to do that. So I think they're feeling really good about that approach and the way they went about that that game itself from start to finish. You know, anything can happen in overtime in 3-on-3. And the Senators made it happen, obviously, and scored 20 seconds in, and it's Claude Giroux. And probably the perfect trio was out in the ice to get that win with Thomas Chabot and obviously Claude winning the faceoff, and they regroup in their own end. They nearly give it away, but then Stützle does something marvelous and Giroux finishes it off. And just the overall general feeling, I think, is that this is a stepping stone. And we've said it before. I'll be honest. I've probably said it many a time after a win. Could this be the stepping stone? I just get the feeling, based on how they won that game the other day, Steve, that this could possibly be a stepping stone. And look it, they want to change the narrative. They're 17 points right now. And they currently sit 7 points out of or behind the New York Rangers, who've lost 3 straight. They've got an opportunity to play well at home and win at home, and they've got 2 games in hand against the Rangers. And well, they're not and shouldn't be looking beyond this game. My guess is they have and looked at the standings and thought, this is a pretty good opportunity for us here.
Hey, Gord.
Graham, how are you, sir?
Great, thank you. How are you?
I'm outstanding.
just to your point about the feeling of the group, and listening to Dave Poulin on the morning show today, when asked about the 2 games that they played well, but the record that they have right now, and he talked a lot about belief and getting the result to believe that you have the ability to climb out of this. Do you believe that the team believes that they do?
I do, yes, because they've played. I would think, Graham, if you total the whole body of work from the hockey club, the 21 games that they've played, X number of periods that they've played, I think there have been more good periods than bad periods. They went through a stretch when they lost those 7 games. At the end of those 7 games, they probably had 7 fewer toes based on the amount of errors they committed themselves that led to goals against, that led to losses. And when you self-inflict, it's disastrous in a game that's based on parity. In the NHL, that is on any given night, anybody can beat anybody. And the Seattle Kraken are living proof of that right now. And so too, well, I shouldn't say the New Jersey Devils, because their sample size is growing every game. But there's no question that they hurt themselves, and I think the belief is they know that, Graham. So when you look at the whole body of work, my guess is their belief is, well, we've played better hockey than our results show. Let's just continue with, again, the process and focus in on the process, focus in on getting better every day at practice, focus in on winning shift by shift by shift and see what happens, rather than focusing in on the previous 7-5 victory over the Boston Bruins or whatever victory it might have been when they were on a bit of a roll, and really, really getting that belief in themselves.
What certainly helps, though, Gord, is health, and especially on the back end.
100%.
At this team, let's face it, on the back end, has to be pretty much at full health with their top guys.
Yep.
Because the slotting just falls apart. After that, we saw it with Zub out as long as he was, and Chabot missed a week and a bit as well. It was really tough. Jake Sanderson boy, he handled that very well in the added minutes that he had to eat up here. But this team is still, unfortunately, there's a lot of season left. Another injury away on the blue line for a stretch where they're kind of back in the same boat here to that end. Same question.
Well,
do they have to go out and get a defenseman to try to insulate themselves?
Well, they do, but, I mean, injuries happen to every team, so I don't think you can...
But they don't overcome their injuries in the blue line like the Leafs have or other teams, so that's the problem, right?
Yeah, no, I know. I realize that. And, again, you know what? You listen to what the general manager says, and it's easier said than done to just snap your fingers and go out and get a top four defenseman, okay? And if you're a team that's not quite willing yet to give up another first-round pick, or, I mean, do we know what discussions have taken place and what the ask has been for a top four defenseman? My guess is starting point is a first-round pick. And the Senators aren't willing to give up. There aren't a lot of teams that are willing to give up in November a first-round pick. Right now, defensively, the team is healthy. I don't disagree with you, Steve, that they need another top-four defenseman, but it's not happening right away. So with that in mind, you'll look at the six that they have, and clearly this team, when healthy, has – three defensemen on this team, possibly four if you want to include Travis Hamonic when he's playing extremely well, but certainly three, and Jake Sanderson, Thomas Chabot, and Artem Zub. They're three defensemen that you have no problem putting on the ice at any given time during the game. And when you've got Zub and Chabot together, this team is 6-3. When they're not, they're 2-9-1. Those numbers, to me, speak for themselves. So, you know, I guess the best answer to your question is, well, you keep your fingers crossed that everybody stays healthy. But every team does that, right? Every team does that.
I don't know if these two topics are related at all. I guess you could make them related, but I got to ask, I guess, one more time, any news or feeling on the Formanton front?
Oh, boy, no. Other than, you know what, the clock is ticking. What does he have till 5 o'clock tomorrow? And my guess is, we don't have to be rocket scientists or brain scientists or rocket surgeons to figure out that this team's not going to give him away. If they're going to trade him, they're not going to give him away. They have the rights, and they've lived with him this long, and fans probably don't want to hear this because they are desperate for a top four defenseman, but if it's an even swap, I don't think it's going to happen. As it stands right now, my guess is there's probably a better-than-average chance that he plays in Europe this year, if that be the case, and the Senators hang on to his rights. Unless something happens, I won't say unexpectedly, because I'm guessing the talks have taken place with a number of teams. And Steve, I'm assuming that you've probably heard the same thing, that there is interest. I know you are as in touch as I am. There is interest in Formanton, and so there should be. So as it stands right now, my guess is, as he sits unsigned, that he might be looking at the possibility of Europe.
It is interesting. I actually went through, I thought Ian Mendez did a nice job of going historically. This doesn't happen very often where you get to the 11th hour for this December 1st. Like it happened with William Nylander a few years ago with the Leafs. And they got a deal done. And there was one other example within like 10 days of December 1st. Usually when it goes this long, the deal doesn't get done. Right. Oh, the other one was Turris. Turris got done, but that was under the guise of he was going to be traded, and he was.
Right.
The following month to Ottawa. So
yeah.
The fact that it's got this long, I'm kind of with you, Gord. If I had to handicap it right now, my money would be on nothing, and he ends up playing in Europe at this stage. But to your point, I'm hearing the same thing, that because I truly wondered what his value is right now around the league, and what teams would be willing to give up, but he's a good player. Teams recognize that. I guess it would be a fly in the wall to what they were really willing to give up at this stage to bring him in, right?
Well,
like that's the thing.
elephant in the room, though, Steve, I'm very confident in saying this is an unprecedented situation a restricted free agent because of the Hockey Canada situation.
Absolutely.
Unprecedented. So there's the major issue right now, right? The major issue is the Hockey Canada investigation. And until that's resolved and until the facts come out, and we know what they have learned, then
teams don't like uncertainty, right?
No,
and they want to know if they're getting the player with all of it, right?
Sure, absolutely. So, I heard this morning that the Hockey Canada decision is expected to come out shortly. Well, it can't come out soon enough for everybody involved with Alex Formanton and his camp and the Ottawa Senators.
All right. That's tomorrow, by the way. It's 5 o'clock, 5 Eastern tomorrow is the deadline for the NHL. If you're an RFA, you got to have a signed contract by 5 tomorrow or you can't play in the NHL during that season, and that is why we're talking about Alex Formanton. All right, back to the game itself here. Camp Talbot, speaking of roles, Gord, are we seeing the start of a role for Cam Talbot here?
You know, it's interesting, Steve, because I asked him about that following the Los Angeles game, and he looked very good against Los Angeles. I think we may have named him a game star. He just looked very comfortable, and I said to him, are you starting to feel like you're getting into a groove? And he was very quick to remind, and I'm glad he did, because we forget that he missed a lot of time. And you only think of the immediacy and, okay, he didn't play well in the second period of the game against San Jose after Ottawa dominated that first. And he, I thought, contributed to the loss with two goals that weren't so good. And the Senators didn't help him out by recovering from the deficit and didn't return to the way they played in the first period of that game. I mean, it's all part and parcel, right? It goes hand in hand. You need your goalie to make some saves, but if he doesn't, you need to bail him out too every now and then. And the Senators didn't do that. So with that in mind, to answer your question, yes, I do. And we forgot, or I forgot, or certainly needed a reminder, that he had missed a lot of time. And that time can be spent, the time that he missed certainly can be spent on a practice ice, getting yourself in a groove. It's a new team, regardless of his age. It's a new team for him. It's a new city. It's new changes for his family. Everything that applies to sometimes not seeing what you expect to see applies to every player who comes over from another team, and Cam's no different, despite his age, despite his resume and the fact that he was an all-star in Minnesota last year. It all adds up, and then you get hurt with a new team and you miss a month of time. Well, he looks as though he's starting to get into a groove, and I think I said after the Vegas game that maybe it was time, and perhaps fortunate for the Senators that Anton Forsberg got hurt on the road trip and the Senators were forced to play Cam. Not that they wouldn't have anyway because of his play. I think he deserved to get right back in there. He's also a veteran player who likes to play. He showed that last year in Minnesota. And I think with his fifth straight start here tonight, I think it's a huge plus to the Senators.
Going back to the Anaheim game, obviously the third line with some huge secondary scoring production with three-point games for Joseph and for Broussard. Not sure if Broussard will be able to go tonight or not. But I was looking forward to the LA game to see how the DeBrincat, Pinto, and Batherson line responded. Just because you couldn't get a good feeling for a ton of five-on-five play against Anaheim because the Senators had 8 power plays and the Ducks had 6. The whole game was spent on special teams. So I wanted to see going into LA that DeBrincat line play very well, and I thought that they did. I think he had a solid game. I think Batherson was wanting to see what he would provide in that game, and I thought he was solid too. I don't think he ended up finishing with any points, but I liked his game. How would you evaluate the play of the second line and just their importance of kind of not contributing, but maybe being a difference maker one game or whatever.
Well, if I may, I'll start with Batherson. And I had this discussion with somebody this morning at the rink. I don't think you're seeing the best of Drake Batherson. There's something missing here. During the four-game winning streak, there was one game in particular where he was extremely physical. And I think he was playing with Tkachuk at the time. And the two just kind of fed off each other with physical presence below the goal line, around the net. And I thought he came off as one of the best players because of his physical play. I don't think it's been as consistent as the Senators need it to be from a physical standpoint. He's got 16 points. He's got 5 goals. He missed an opportunity in a 2-1 game on a power play, missed a wide open net. And I'm nitpicking here. Okay, the Senators won the game. We don't need to, over-criticize or over-analyze players in one particular play. But it was, to me, an example of his game just not being completely consistent. Because 9 times out of 10 he buries, 9 times out of 10 over the last couple of seasons, he buried those kinds of opportunities. He's missed a couple of those opportunities, and that one in particular. So, I like Pinto and DeBrincat. I thought Alex's game was maybe one of his best at both ends of the ice of the season. And here's another young guy who's acclimatizing, and we're a quarter of the way in, so no more excuses. Let's giddy up. And I think we're seeing a more consistent Alex DeBrincat, shooting the puck, getting opportunities. Puck luck hasn't been on his side. And believe you me, when you score 40, you need a little puck luck. And I'm not taking anything away from the skill level and the shot that he has and the effort that he puts in, but sometimes you just need some puck luck. And he had a wide open net the other day and hit the shaft of a defenseman's stick that was the puck going into the empty net, and it hits the shaft of a stick, and I saw his response. He laughed, and I'm assuming said, "Oh God, not again." Shane Pinto hitting a bit of a wall offensively, but still the same consistent effort. I think the key to the success on that line, though, is Drake, because he's done it in the past, and I think they need just a little more from Drake Batherson moving forward.
You brought his name up, and I was just looking at some numbers here because I'm watching Shane Pinto play, and I'm not seeing a guy playing poorly.
Nope.
But he, what a difference a month can make. Rookie of the month. He's a house on fire in October. And since the calendar hit November, he's got 2 goals, and they came in the same game in front of his buddies in New Jersey in that fun evening for him.
Yeah.
And has 1 assist. And he picked that up in the Anaheim game. So that's it. 2 goals and 1 assist this entire month here. Is this a direct result of the Norris injury of what's been asked of Shane Pinto in a rookie year?
Yeah, that's an interesting point and a very valid one. I would agree with that. There's no question. This 22-year-old with X number of games under his belt, how many does he have under his belt, Steve? Has he got 35 yet? He's got 40. I don't have my stats in front of me here.
Yeah. Well, how many did he play before he?
Well, he had 12,
a couple years
and
ago.
Then he played 5, so 17 and 21 is 38. 38 games under his belt. So, yeah.
Look at us,
Hey, look at us, Stephen. And who said math wasn't going to be part of this? I say bring it on, right?
No, you nailed it.
What?
It's always dangerous. It's always dangerous, as simple as it might be.
Yeah, exactly. But your point is extremely valid because you're all of a sudden now asking a 22-year-old who's got, what did we say, 38 games
38.
Under
38.
38 games under
38.
Missed a year of development last year, with the exception of training camp and 5 games, to step in a second-line centerman's role. How unfair is that? I mean, it's out of necessity. They're not trying to be unfair. It's out of necessity. But you know what? He's performing very, very well under the circumstances, I would say. And I have zero hesitation in putting him out against anybody as a second-line centerman. And in tonight's game, when they can control the matchups, I don't think, you know, if there's Filipetal and Panarin and Kaapo Kakko is sort of deemed the Rangers' second line, I don't have any problem putting Ottawa's second line out there against them if DJ is looking to match up those trios or those forward lines against each other. Pinto, Batherson, and DeBrincat up against Panarin, Hedl, and Kapokako. Our Artemi Panarin has, he scored 4 goals in his first 6 games, 2 in his last 17. So, you know, he's contributing to this 3-game losing streak for sure.
Gord, what's it like when interacting with your colleagues that cover the Rangers? Just because I think when, for example, L.A. the other night, now tonight, our Webpool question is kind of related to this topic too. But just when the two teams are playing each other, comparing what you've seen so far from Tim Stützle to Alexis Lafreniere.
Yeah, there's really no comparison as far as numbers are concerned, right? I think patience is the key, and Don Maloney was on our radio station this morning and basically said that, you know, until they hit a certain threshold in games played, it might be a little bit unfair. Tim has certainly proven that being number 3 has turned out to be the best pick of any of the top 4. I won't say top 5 because number 5 could very easily be classified as a first overall pick too in the way Jake Sanderson has played. But numbers wise, Tim Stützle has put them up. And in fact, I used this on the broadcast the other day. He's miles ahead. Well, I'll read you my notes here very quickly. 3rd overall in 2020. Statistically, number 1 in his draft class going into that LA game. 107 points, including 42 goals in 152 games. Lucas Raymond, who was drafted 4th that year, right behind Tim, 2nd in points with 71 points. So he's, math again here, 36 points behind. Crap. Sorry, Steve, you may want to double-check all of this.
You're doing this while talking on the radio. You're nailing it, buddy.
Alexis Lafreniere, taken number 1 overall, 33 goals. So he's only 9 back of Tim, and he's played 4 more games. But points-wise, and look at, Alexis had an opportunity to play some really good players in New York, Zibanejad, Kreider, you name them. I mean, a 50-goal scorer in Kreider last year. He's only got 61 points. So he's 46 points behind, I think, behind Tim in the number of points he's produced as well. But again, the Rangers are saying the same thing that the Kings are saying. I mean, I saw a tweet the other day with the assist that Tim had on the game-winning goal. He's now got more points in Los Angeles this year than Quinton Byfield does. Byfield hasn't played yet. Well, it's a mean-spirited tweet, but it says a lot, doesn't it? And Byfield taking number 2 overall.
All right.
Yeah. Anyway.
So did we get a goods preview there when you checked your notes? is that what happened there? And how are the fellas?
You know what? I should be doing it right now because I've got a perfect environment. They're both sound asleep on the couch, and that's usually what the goods does to them. So they'll make an appearance today.
All right.
I spent $40 to get Vegas showgirls into a shot. That $40 I'll not see back. Okay.
And showmanship.
It's showmanship, and that didn't prove to be anywhere close to what free golden retrievers provide as far as interest is concerned in those stupid goods. So Levi and Jackson in all their glory, and actually Jackson is in all his glory right now. He's lying on his back with the world to see everything. And
good.
And I'm guessing that, that would go over really well.
Okay, the quote, stupid goods, will be up on at Gord Wilson and at TSN 1200 shortly. We'll look for it. Thank you, Gord.
Fellas, thank you for having me on this special occasion. It's been terrific here to interrupt soccer, and I look forward to the broadcast tonight.
All right. 5 o'clock pregame show. All right. And 7 o'clock face-off with Gord Wilson and the stupid goods coming your way. You'll have a call with Dean tonight at 7 on TSN 1200. All right, let's take a break here. Back in a moment on In the Box on TSN 1200.
This podcast is brought to you by Bodog.net.
Don't miss a chance to play at Bodog.net. When the odds are stacked against you, post-game tastes that much sweeter. Bodog.net, your source of free casino games, poker strategies, and live sports odds.
Feel like we should be slipping into a leather chair, a little cognac, a stogie, this music the Kenny's playing for us. It's a dreary day. I just asked Kenny.
Definitely the hotel bar piano, I think, eh?
Yeah. Yeah. I asked Kenny, you know, it's still raining. Temperature's going to drop. I just checked because I was wondering, is there a chance it's going to change to freezing rain before it gets to snow? My app says no. So I hope for everybody's sake that's the case, Graham. Because it's, temperature is dropping as it continues to rain here. All right, game day. We got the Sens and the Rangers coming your way tonight. 5 o'clock for your pregame show, 7 o'clock faceoff. Thanks to Gord Wilson, who just joined us in our last segment. We're going to break away again at 2 o'clock for more World Cup. And then Lee will be back with a one-hour edition of The Drive coming your way at 4. And then he's going to take you through the pregame show starting at 5. And we'll see if the Sens. Now, there is somebody that would say a one-game winning streak is a winning streak.
No, he was listening today.
Now, well, he usually is. He likes to troll.
Yeah.
So
that's how I know he was listening.
So there's that. But is two game? That's not a. It's got to be at least a three gamer. Does he call it a streak?
You know how we know 100%? That's what the Sen said in their victory goggles video. Let's make it a streak.
Good call by you.
There you go. Three's a streak. Let's go.
Also, we didn't really hit on that. Love those videos. It's always good when the Sens let people into the room after a win, and you see who gets it used to be the glasses and the helmet last year. Now it's the goggles. The chain lasted like one game, didn't it? One win?
No, definitely more than that, because the last person that had it was Hellberg.
Oh. So maybe that was their excuse to change.
Maybe. It lasted four. Although they said it wasn't working, but.
No. So that now they go with, like, it's basically tanning goggles that they hand out. And it was interesting. I mean, what a play by Stützle and Giroux gets a winning goal. You think that would have been an easy one to go there. But nope, they went with Alex DeBrincat because of his back check to help get the game to overtime. That was interesting. In their video off, they're coming off their win over the LA Kings. All right, Kenny's got ads to play because we got to get set for coming up just before 2 o'clock. We got to break away for some World Cup, so this is why he's kicking us off early this segment. We're back to wrap the show coming up next on In the Box on TSN 1200. All right, we're pretty much out of show here. So, Creature, are you intermissions and post tonight?
Yes.
Breaking
her
down.
You know what? I'm going to be a good lad and go set up the stuff, the gear for Lee too.
Look at you, eh? Yeah. It would take him a couple minutes, but you'll save him those minutes because you're a good guy.
Might take him more than a couple, yeah. So I'm going to go do that.
Well, but at least you know he can do that by himself, and he could.
What does that mean?
I'm just throwing that out there.
Okay.
just saying. All right. Well, coming up after soccer, it's Matty Vowles is going to be at the rink, as Matty, as we know, does road radio engineering. So he's there. He'll be co-hosting the hour-long edition of The Drive starting at 4. Cam Clement will be producing that, and Cam will be, as he always does, producing Senators Hockey, which starts with the 5 o'clock pregame show hosted by the one and only Lever Sage. Creature steps in for intermissions and post, and we'll see if they go streaking. They've won
two. We're going streaking!
They've won two straight. If they beat the Rangers tonight, that's called a winning streak. And Creature will tell you all about it on our postgame show, Jim K. Ford Lincoln Senators postgame show this evening. All right, I'll be with Kenny for the next couple days. Till next time, Creature, enjoy the games. Everybody, enjoy the soccer coming up next. We're going to have more World Cup action for you. Argentina taking on Poland, and then it's The Drive, and then it sends hockey still to come on TSN 1200.
I'm going to sign off here.
My watch is ended.
I wanted to let him know his fun's done.
Three words. What a team effort it was.
Sorry about that.
Thanks for having me.
What a finish.